This is the Peachtree Podcast, the official podcast of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution Peachtree Road Race.
You really have to devote yourself to it and train every day.
It's back and better than ever for 2022.
The Peachtree is really, really unique. It does attract the world's fastest runner, the world's fastest wheelchair athlete.
I can't wait.
It's just exciting being around that many people in one race.
But it also attracts tens of thousands of people who only run or walk one time a year.
Let's get you ready to run.
Let's go.
Here's Jay Holder and Jennifer Perry.
Welcome into another season of the Peachtree Podcast, maybe the most normal one in quite a while. And Jay Holder, for one thing, you're not overseas this year. Welcome back, first of all.
When you said most normal one, that's the first thing I thought of. We are in the same country. We're not yet in the same room, but we're in the same country for the first time in a year, the same hemisphere.
Right.
And that in itself is definitely some normalcy. So it's good to be back.
Well, we do want to get to the race, of course, and this year's Atlanta Journal-Constitution Peachtree Road Race. But I do want to mention it. We had some listeners who asked about you at the race last year and wanted to know, how did your Peachtree go since you did do it overseas?
Surprisingly well. I had not planned on doing anything fast. And then I went out there and it was a rainy day in Tokyo. It was rainy and humid simultaneously. So I got that Atlanta July humidity. Let's see. It was 10 in the morning on July 4th in Tokyo. So it was 11 at night in the US on July 3rd. So I did it in between the 3rd and the 4th.
Okay.
And I did two laps around the Imperial Palace. The Imperial Palace in Tokyo is, it's obviously where the emperor lives, but it's this massive property with gardens and old buildings, like really old buildings. And the loop around it is 3 miles. It's almost actually exactly 5K. And it's a very popular running spot for people in Tokyo. And it was less than a mile from my apartment. So I jogged down there. I did two laps as hard as I could around there. And I have not been running hard over the last couple of years. But and then I got about 4 miles in and thought, you know, I might be able to dip under 40. And so then I pushed it for the last 2 miles, which were pretty uphill. And I think I ran, I don't remember the exact time, but it was 39, 20 something. And then I was confused and was thinking it was the morning and it was Friday. And I think this was the right morning. And I was sending my kids donuts every Friday morning so they'd be delivered to them when they woke up, and not thinking that it was nighttime. And I sent a dozen Sublime donuts to my kids at 11 p.m. after that run. I think that was the same day. That was a run around the Imperial Palace around Peachtree time. But yeah, it was amazing. It was really cool. And then I wore my Peachtree shirt the rest of the day around Tokyo, took some pictures in different places, went and got tea at a little restaurant in a neighborhood called Harajuku. And yeah, it was neat to do it. I'd like to still one day do it in Atlanta and get that feeling. But being part of it last year was great. And then I watched the broadcast on my phone. I streamed it on 11 Live, and that was really cool too. But it's good to be back. And I'm excited to be at the finish line this year and actually see it in person.
I think so many of us are, Jay. I mean, even last year when you had to spread it out over 2 days, I know a lot of runners appreciated being back last year. But this year, again, we're getting back to maybe the most normal we've been since the 50th running of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution Peachtree Road Race. And joining us on this week's podcast too, Jay, we're going to hear from Atlanta Track Club CEO Rich Kanaw, who's had quite a bit thrown his way over these past couple of years. But looking at the bright side too, I mean, you know, you got to run this in Tokyo. So many of us got to run it in different spots. We embraced, I think, the change as much as we possibly could, but there is nothing like Peachtree on the 4th of July here in Atlanta, is there?
I didn't think about it until we started getting registration ready for this year's Peachtree, that there has not been a traditional Peachtree since 2019, and that was the 50th. And you're right, there is something really special about that tradition. And so our big thought at Atlanta Track Club this year was, let's give people what they are used to, what they know. Now, you're not going to see a lot of big changes at the Peachtree this year, other than it is going to be back to something you haven't seen since 2019. So we're really proud of being able to get through the worst of the pandemic and still have a Peachtree, whether it be virtual or whether it be over the course of 2 days. But we've all, I think, missed that one day celebration. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like Peachtree anywhere else in the country, maybe anywhere else in the world. The way that the city and the community embraces the event is like no other. And to put that all back on the 4th of July, like it was meant to be when it first started in 1970, is I've been excited about it since the calendar turned over to 2022.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have. We've had it marked on our calendar, but we might have some listeners joining us and thinking, wow, I so wish that I'd signed up for this because I'm ready to get back to normal. I'm ready to get back to my July 4th tradition. And actually, Rich is going to share some breaking news with us. I don't know if you want to go ahead and break it here on the Peachtree Podcast, Jay, but there might be a way for some people to still get into this race.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and scoop Rich on this.
All right.
Because I want people to know, as soon as they're listening, if you're on your morning run, it's Friday, May 20th, and you're out there listening to us lamenting the fact that you missed that registration window from March 15th to March 31st. Guess what? Starting today, right now, registration is reopened for the 53rd running of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution Peachtree Road Race. And that's just because we got your calls, we got your emails, we heard that some people just weren't thinking about Peachtree in March. Habits have changed. People weren't planning that far ahead. People are hesitant to plan that far ahead. And so we looked at it and we said, we've got room for some more people. Let's reopen registration. So it is open today through June 4th at ajc.com/Peachtree. Members will get the same price, $42 across the board. Every 5 days, we will increase the price for non-Atlanta Track Club members. We're going to do some really cool giveaways. So pay attention to your email. We're going to be giving away some Peachtree shoes. We're going to be giving away tickets to see the Atlanta Braves on July 4th. And you know how I feel about this. There's no better July 4th tradition than run the Peachtree and go catch a baseball game. And we're going to be giving away some VIP experiences. So it is not too late to be part of the Peachtree. And you can sign up today, ajc.com/Peachtree through June 4th. Really exciting. We've never done this before, and we're really glad to be able to do it.
Big breaking news here on the Peachtree Podcast. You heard it here first. If you have some running friends too who aren't in on this race yet and you've been wanting to get more family members involved and friends and get back out there on July 4th, go ahead and register. You can do so starting today. Again, what's that web address, Jay?
ajc.com/Peachtree. Spread the word. Garmin has Forerunners for all runners. Our Can't Beat lineup of running smartwatches includes the Forerunner 945 LTE with phone-free safety and tracking features, the easy-to-use Forerunner 55, and so many more.
Jay, it wouldn't be the Peachtree Podcast without this guy to help us kick off the season here. And I know that you guys at Atlanta Track Club work extremely close together, but I don't think anyone has a bigger job every year, and especially these last couple of years, than Rich Kanaw.
I do not envy his job on race day and the months, weeks, months, years leading up to it. We are finally preparing for a normal Peachtree, as we said at the top of the show, a normal, in quotes, Peachtree. And Rich is the man bringing it all together with an awesome team at Atlanta Track Club.
So, Rich, thanks so much for joining us and helping us kick off this season. How important is it for you to get things back to normal, especially after all the curveballs that have been thrown your way these last couple of years?
Well, I'm glad to be on. It's important to me, but I think it's more important to everyone else, all of the participants, the volunteers, all the people from the city, all of our partner sponsors, are all longing to get back to what they know, the traditional Atlanta Journal-Constitution Peachtree Road Race, one day, July 4th, with tens of thousands of your best friends and the world's largest running party. I think it really does signal a return to what we'll call a new normal. And that is the track club finding a way to bring the Peachtree back in a way that is safe for everyone to a one-day event.
As Jay broke the news to us just moments ago here on the Peachtree Podcast, you are doing something you've never done before in terms of reopening registration. You know, we were talking about how our habits have changed. And I know for a lot of us, we've been afraid maybe sometimes to plan too far ahead. So this is a really unique opportunity for those who want to experience Peachtree to still get in. And actually, it's never happened before, right, Rich?
No, it's never happened. And as I think about my experiences as the race director over the last few years, I recognize how much I have learned, this organization has learned, as it relates to putting on the Peachtree. We thought we had this whole thing figured out. But to your point or to your question, for a number of years, even before COVID, we were seeing an increase in the number of people who were reaching out to us on April 1st, on April 10th, on May 1st, May 15th, June 1st, saying, hey, I couldn't commit back then, or I forgot, or I had so many things going on. My family has so many commitments. Is there a way I can get into the Peachtree? And we have artfully, if you will, created some small side doors for those who may have missed the Peachtree registration period in the past. And now we are leaning into what we were starting to see and what COVID has expedited. And that is the reality that people are not looking out on the horizon in terms of their plans 2, 3, 4, 5 months down the road. And we're trying to find a way to honor that so that they can keep their Peachtree traditions alive, celebrate the 4th of July like everybody in Atlanta knows how to do, but not, you know, be all tied up, you know, with angst in March saying, hey, should I or should I not do this?
It's nice to have options, especially after everything that we've been through. And I did notice as I went and registered for in-person racing, there is still a virtual option for this year as well, right?
There is. And I think in our podcast last year, I may have said the same thing. If you had told me that there would be a market for virtual races before the pandemic, I would have been a non-believer. But seeing people's interest in participating in the Peachtree virtually, I think speaks to the power of the Peachtree and its reach beyond its core, and that's the state of Georgia. So I think we will see less virtual participants that are local this year because of the in-person and because we are reopening registration. And we will hopefully see more people from around the country and around the world taking part in the Peachtree virtually so that they can experience a little bit of that Georgia 4th of July tradition.
There's nothing like doing this race in person, but do you feel like having that virtual option now for this will be year number 3, has it opened up this tradition to a whole different group of runners geographically out there?
Yeah, it's fun to watch during the registration periods, the number of states and then number of countries that we are reaching as a result of the virtual. I will say, while I reference this, we have our new normal. There were things that were absolutely sacred before COVID. And we're going to try to honor those sacred things going forward. And one of those is the Peachtree finisher shirt. So for the last couple of years in the virtual races, we were sending off your Peachtree shirt ahead of the race. Now we're going, you know, back to the future. And we are not going to give you your finisher shirt until after the 4th of July and after you have shown proof that you have covered your 10K distance. So that for all of those who are participating in person, they recognize that the virtuals are being held to the same standard that they are.
I love that as a Peachtree traditionalist. I love that we're going back there. I mean, it was fun to see it on social media ahead of time last year and the year before that, Rich, but I am looking forward to that getting back to normal for sure. I want to be surprised at the finish line and glad that you're implementing that change. But since so much has changed over the last couple of years, do you see any other changes that you've made to your race plans kind of sticking around even as we get back to normal in-person racing?
Well, I think there's always going to be learnings anytime you make a significant, you know, shift to such a tradition-laden event. You know, operationally, maybe something that people won't necessarily see is just a general sort of humble approach that we now take to operating the Peachtree. Because it was 50 years old, you know, heading into COVID, we thought we knew everything. And now, you know, this has forced us to sort of take a half a step back and own what we know and what we don't know. So there will be that humble approach that I take as a race director and all of us as staff take on this year's event and future events. But I don't see any other significant operational changes beyond asking everyone to be cognizant, if you will, of when you are in high density areas, that some percentage of our participants will still want to wear a mask. And we should honor that. We should celebrate that. We should respect that. Just like those who choose not to wear a mask, we should honor, respect, and celebrate those.
But it's so nice to be back. I know one benefit last year, I was telling you before we started recording today, that it was kind of nice to have more room on Peachtree to spread out with the event spread out over 2 days. Do you ever envision a scenario where you would go back to racing over 2 days versus doing it on the one holiday?
There's a few things that I know and a lot that I don't, but I do know we are going to do everything we can not to return to a 2 day Peachtree. It was fun. It was a sort of an operational challenge for everyone involved. And there were some who referenced how much extra space they had on Peachtree Road and 10th and Piedmont Park. But we're going to go back to 1 day, and we're going to do our best to find that balance between sort of the old Peachtree, really dense, really intense, heading down Peachtree, and what we just experienced. So trying to keep our waves to as small a size as possible, trying to give as much space in between our waves as possible. But be ready to celebrate with tens of thousands of your best friends out there.
Water delivery is one of those things that's changed a lot over the last couple of years because of COVID, obviously. Did you learn anything there that helps? Because I know you've made a number of changes regarding water delivery in the last few years, keeping it cold for us, again, switching to bottles last year. How will that take place this year, especially given the fact that we know heat is always the biggest issue with this race?
Yes. Everything, every element of our planning takes into account the heat of Atlanta in early July. We will return to poured water on the course, and we will return to cooled, chilled, cold water bottles, Dasani water at the finish line coming out of coolers in Piedmont Park. And we will make an adjustment to some of our allowances for people carrying water on the course. So pre-COVID, we prohibited shoulder carried water, and just because it's really hard to manage people carrying backpacks and other items down Peachtree Road. So backpacks will not be allowed, but we will allow shoulder carried water. So for those who are not comfortable taking the poured water on the course, you are certainly encouraged to bring fuel belts and shoulder carried water on the course this year.
Good to know there. As far as the registrations go, you mentioned that you're able to kind of monitor in real time as people are starting to register for this race. And now that registrations reopen, you'll be doing the same, I know, with your staff there at Atlanta Track Club. Geographically, where are the runners coming from this year, Rich? What are some of the interesting spots that you've seen so far?
So the trends are similar in that roughly 90% of the participants are still from the state of Georgia. And then, of course, the heaviest concentration of which is Atlanta Metro. I have not looked in the last couple of weeks of where the number of states we have, but it's north of 40. And I know that we do have, I believe we have at least one entrant from Singapore, another entrant from Australia. And those are in-person entrants, by the way. So the reach of the race remains strong is a short answer to your question.
All right, Jay Holder, I see you over there on the Google. So what did you find out about Peachtree registrations for this year?
Well, I'm just looking at this map, and there's so much data here, and it's a lot of fun for me to zoom in and see where people are. But we do, hang on, you know what? I told you all 50 states, but let me zoom in on Hawaii. Yep, okay, there's somebody in Hawaii. And let's look at Alaska. Yes, we've got somebody in Anchorage. Alaska has two. We've got a Fairbanks and an Anchorage runner participating. And then let's see where they're at in Hawaii just for fun here. Let's zoom into Hawaii here on my little map. Oh, yes. Look at that. We've got Honolulu represented. I'm not going to try to pronounce names of cities in Hawaii I don't know that I'm not familiar with, but we have other cities in Hawaii represented. All 50 states are in the Peachtree. There's one person in Wyoming. Thank you, Wyoming. But yeah, I mean, that's really exciting. Usually there's a couple of states where we're having to make some phone calls. And, hey, who do we know in North Dakota? Let's get them to come out. But nope, it looks like I don't see a single state missing this year. So that's really exciting.
All over the map. We love it. And share where you're going to run your Peachtree, if you're doing it virtually, or are you traveling in from out of town? Let us know. You can always hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and more. Just do a search for Atlanta Track Club.
The Peachtree Podcast, and of course, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution Peachtree Road Race, brought to you by sponsors like Delta. If you're flying in for this year's Peachtree, be sure to book with Delta, our official airline partner.
We're always excited to kick off the Peachtree Podcast with Atlanta Track Club CEO Rich Kanaugh. Do you hope we'll regain that moniker of world's largest 10K this year, given that people are going to be back out there on the course?
I think we will. So the trends in the running industry, in the endurance running space, so from 5Ks to 10Ks, half marathons and marathons, is that we're back. We're all back. But no one is really back to where their original pre-COVID demand for spots in races. So I do think we will end up as the world's largest 10K this year. And I would encourage all those who are considering registering to consider the fact that we like that title. We like that moniker. We want to keep it. So please do your part to help us get there. But I think I would like us to approach this race as something a lot more than just a numbers game. I want us as Atlantans to see this as our opportunity to come together as a community, as we always have, to celebrate our sameness in terms of how we celebrate the 4th of July, but our differences. The Peachtree is really, really unique in that it does attract the world's fastest runners, the world's fastest wheelchair athletes, but it also attracts tens of thousands of people who only run or walk one time a year. That's really what is the beauty and the story of the Peachtree, is everyone coming together on this one day.
But when you're bringing 60,000 or so runners to the same spot, there's a ton of coordination that goes on behind the scenes. You know, this is a community effort. Everyone from the police officers you see out there closing off the roads early on race morning and along the route there. The MARTA people who have to get there super early too and adjust their schedules to help us get to the race site. There's so much coordination with all these city leaders. I mean, this really is a 365-day operation for you guys at Atlanta Track Club, isn't it?
It is. This is our flagship event. We do a lot of other things, but this is our continued focus each and every day. You know, you reference other organizations and agencies in our all agency meetings where we plan the race. There is a palpable energy in this year's preparation that I do not remember pre-COVID, from Public Works to APD to MARTA. Everyone is looking forward to bringing this back in the way that Atlanta and Georgia and the running community all know it. And there's just so much pride that I see that people take in owning their particular part of the Peachtree. And sort of just a quick anecdotal story. I remember last year on the second day, as are the sanitation trucks, which follow the last participant down Peachtree and clean up as they go. As they were getting onto 10th Street and as they were approaching the finish line, there were a number of the employees of the sanitation department who were jumping off of their trucks and running down 10th Street, smiling and laughing and just having a ton of fun. Yeah, so these are people that normally wouldn't be working on the 4th of July. It's a holiday, mm-hmm. who are taking so much pride in the fact that we just brought tens of thousands of people from point A to point B. And if you went back along the route that they just finished, you would never have known that they were there because of the good work that they were doing.
That's always fascinating to me. If you have the chance to walk back up Peachtree after the race, it's like nothing happened. I mean, even an hour later, nothing happened. And so kudos to those people who make this work every year and clean up behind us. It's a lot, we know, even if you're trying to be mindful and hit garbage cans with your paper cups, it's always a little bit difficult there. So we appreciate every single person who has a role in this race. But I know you're involved from start to finish, and we'll talk with you on our final episode this season about what race day looks like for you, Rich. But for you, what are your most maybe memorable moments, especially maybe looking at last year, doing it over 2 days? What are some of your favorite moments along the course, or maybe favorite moments that you've missed these last few years?
There are two favorite moments that I have every year. So the first is being at the start line at the corner of Lenox and Peachtree at midnight, when we put that first cone in place to start to divert traffic, because that is essentially sort of the beginning of race day, and it's quite literally happens at midnight. And then the opposite, right? The last person who comes across that finish line inevitably is as happy and is as proud of their accomplishment on race day as the person who won the race. So being there at the finish line and watching that last person come across the line and celebrating their victory is something that I think race directors all over the world, but me specifically, really appreciate and enjoy.
And as a race director and a CEO of Atlanta Track Club, I know this is really the mission of Atlanta Track Club too. It's not just for the elite runners. It's for everyday people just trying to improve their fitness and just getting started. And I always appreciate that, you know, Peachtree was really my start into running all these years ago. It really does help create lifelong habits for people, doesn't it?
It does. I'm not sure this is a great metaphor, but it's our entree drug, right? So we want 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and we have a 50-year vision plan, Atlanta to be known as one of the healthiest cities in the United States. And Peachtree, for so many, is that first step toward health and wellness, toward aerobic fitness.
And so many of us are hooked. So many of us love the t-shirt tradition too here, Rich. Can we talk about that for a second? Because there is a noticeable change this year when it comes to the t-shirts and who's going to be bringing us those t-shirts this year.
Yeah, a number of changes there. So very, very pleased and proud of our new partnership with Adidas. They're our exclusive footwear and apparel provider for the Peachtree and all that Atlanta Track Club does. And as a result of that partnership, we're very happy to be able for the first time to provide what I'll call gender cut or gender specific shirts. So people have more options to choose a shirt that fits their particular body type. So that's one. And then two, these shirts are being manufactured with no virgin plastics. That's in keeping with where this race is going. And that is with an eye toward sustainability and responsibility as it relates to the waste that we create.
We can't wait to see the big unveil on race day for sure. But it's important to note here too, Rich, that your organization, Atlanta Track Club, you're a nonprofit. I know, like, you know, many corporations out there, many solo business owners, you have had certainly your share of challenges. You've had to pivot on so many levels these last couple of years. Can you talk to us about how the organization has changed and how important it's been for runners to still support Atlanta Track Club, even when we were in a time where we had to run virtually or do things a little bit differently?
Yeah, where to begin on that? So we are an organization that has a mission that is accomplished by bringing people together. And in the early days of COVID, that was really difficult. And it would have been very easy for us as staff and the board and our volunteer community to just sort of fold up our tent and say, hey, we'll come back when COVID is behind us. But we didn't. We leaned into what our mission is, and that is bringing people together toward a common goal of getting fitter. So we started small and have scaled what we do to try to get back to normal. And this 4th of July will sort of be the culmination, if you will, that celebration of returning to full scale.
Well, congratulations on getting us back to this point where we can talk about being back together on July 4th again this year. As always, Rich, it's always great to be with you here on the Peachtree Podcast.
Thanks again for having me.
And it's not just the t-shirts. I love, Jay, the last several years out, you guys have made it so that we could buy all kinds of Peachtree gear. And every year I look forward to the shoe. And this one from Adidas is pretty special this year.
It's out now. You can buy it at adidas.com. It's the Adidas Peachtree Adistar. It is red, white, and blue. It's got all the marks of the race on it. It is an awesome shoe. I'm really excited about it. I haven't run in it yet. I actually am not getting my pair until June, so I'm going to have to hang on and wait. We got a couple boxes in today, but they made me give them to the elite team so the elite team could, you know, talk about the shoe. So I parted ways with these boxes of shoes that came in. I'm excited to wear mine, but they're on sale right now at adidas.com. They'll be on sale at the expo. And there's a lot of really cool Peachtree stuff that's coming down the pipe. We're going to see so much cool Peachtree gear this year. And I've had a sneak peek at some of the shirts that they're going to be selling. And yeah, it's pretty neat. I'm pumped.
That's exciting. Am I the only one who wants to buy two pairs of shoes? one for actual running and one just to look pretty on the shelf?
That's what I do every year. I mean, I'm the same way. I have a pair that I just, you know, I don't wear them anytime there's even a chance of rain outside, because this year's pair is, I mean, it's predominantly white, and it's tough to keep white shoes clean.
Right.
But I'm the same way. I do a lot to run in them because I love the Adistar and I just love the cushion that shoe provides, but I also want a pair to walk around in and show off. You can check out adidas.com. It's got the pictures up, but you can also check out our Instagram page. We unveiled the shoe back on May 9th on Instagram. We did a really cool photo shoot on the Peachtree course with some of the Atlanta Track Club's ambassadors. So you can see it there as well.
Go check them out. And they'll be available at the expo too, coming up on race weekend.
Time now for this week's Peachtree Podcast training tip.
Lopez Lamont.
First thing, I love your all-star and the fire jet come through after the national anthem. Fantastic. Yeah. I say take it easy at the beginning. And then I say run comfortably about maybe 3 to 5K. And then the hills, and then you kind of pick up with a lot of people and you'll be fine.
Public Supermarkets is excited to return once again as a sponsor of the 2022 Atlanta Journal-Constitution Peachtree Road Race and to help support health and wellness in the community. Publix, where shopping is a pleasure.
Always great to visit with Rich, find out what's new, what's different for this year, and we are just happy about the things that are going to stay the same for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution Peachtree Road Race this year, Jay. Now, coming up next week here on the Peachtree Podcast, one thing that has changed is the leader of your in-training program for Peachtree, but it's a guy that our Peachtree Podcast faithful will be very familiar with. He's a familiar face around Atlanta Track Club too, and he's really helping a lot of new runners and old runners alike get ready for this race.
If you have been to a group run or race in Atlanta in the last decade, you have heard or seen, or both, Bob Wells. Bob Wells is the new coach of In Training for Peachtree, and he is bringing some new fun energy to the program. Armor Day was last weekend. It was a blast. People were out celebrating, running, trying on new Adidas footwear, having coffee. I saw a dance party happening in the parking lot. He's bringing a whole new vibe to In Training for Peachtree. I think we're going to need Jennifer to prepare for talking to Bob, because we're going to need to just make sure that our energy is as high as the energy he brings to the podcast. So I'll drink a lot of coffee prior to that episode. I'm really excited to talk to him about this new role, and we're really excited to have him on the team.
Extra caffeine next week here on the Peachtree Podcast for sure. But look forward to catching up with him and talking about how do you train effectively for this year's race. Now, also the wheelchair division and the things that go on early in the morning on July 4th. I always love trying to get there early and watching the wheelchair racers go off. And we have a special guest here on the Peachtree Podcast next week to talk about that.
Yeah, I love the wheelchair division, the Shepherd Center wheelchair division. And within that is the push assist division. And that's led by the Kyle Pease Foundation, which is an Atlanta-based 501c3 that creates opportunities for runners in chairs to be part of the Peachtree and be part of races across the country. Peachtree and the Publix Atlanta Half Marathon are their marquee events. And the Peachtree is actually the only competitive push assist race anywhere in the U.S. Wow. And they have their own division. There's prize money. And Kyle and Brent Pease started it all. Kyle has cerebral palsy, is in the chair. Brent is an Ironman athlete along with Kyle and pushes the chair. They're an incredible story. They do incredible work here in Atlanta. And this division of Peachtree is all thanks to their vision. And they're back this year again and they're racing.
Well, if you want some inspiration, join us here next week for more right here on the Peachtree Podcast.
You've been listening to the Peachtree Podcast, the official podcast of the AJC Peachtree Road Race. Thanks to this week's sponsors. For more information, visit AtlantaTrackClub.org. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at ATL Track Club.
A DYJ Media Production.